Friends who met on the street, one of them looked sad, almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my friend?" The sad fellow said, "3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $40,000. "That's a lot of money," the other one said. "Yes, but 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never knew died, and he left me $85,000. "Sounds like you've been blessed." "You don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited almost $250,000. Now the man who's asking the question was a little confused, and he says, "Then why do you look so sad?" He says, "This week, nothing." Gratitude. We are talking about having gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. Last week, we talked basically about the practice of gratitude. And there it is. And we talked about the importance of really practicing gratitude. And this morning, I want to talk about the biblical psychology of gratitude. The biblical psychology of gratitude. I'm going to ask you one more time to stand up, please. Father, we just dedicate this time into your hands. We thank you so much for your love and for your great compassions that fail not. We thank you that your love is everlasting. Your loyal love never gives up on us. Father, thank you so much for loving us when we're in the high valleys, when we're in the high mountains and the low valleys, Lord God, and everything in between. Your love never gives up on us. And Lord, thank you that you are faithful even when we are not. We are undeserving, and we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your compassions and your mercies that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord God Almighty. You have created the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. And Lord, we pray for your power, for your presence, for your Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to come alongside right now and take over, Lord, that you would be with my mouth. And Lord, that there would be a demonstration, not of the flesh, but of the Holy Spirit right now. Speak to your people. Bless your people. Let this word go down deep into their hearts. And Lord God, let them walk away blessed. Yes, Lord. And Lord, help us to magnify the name of Jesus in all of it. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. A penny for your thoughts. You've heard that phrase before, right? Well, you may be underestimating, undervaluing that phrase if that's what you're going to place on the thoughts. Why? Because it's reported that humans have more than 6,000 thoughts per day. A new study from Queen's University in Canada suggests the average person has more than 6,000 individual thoughts every day. Scientists have made the discovery by having subjects watch movies to identify when one thought ends and another thought begins. There's other studies, however, that are much higher and say that the average person has between 12,000 and 60, some even say 70,000 thoughts per day. That's 48.6 thoughts per minute. This morning I was waking up and I was trying to count the thoughts that were going through my head and I couldn't keep up. That's just probably my brain, but I couldn't keep up with the thoughts and I thought, this is sounding right. Some of you right now are thinking, I have to go home. Pastor John, how do I get out of here? I don't want to listen to this message. I have to go wash my car. My cat's out. My dog needs feeding. I need to cook something. There are going to be a myriad of thoughts that are going to be happening just within this little time that we're going to have together. And that's just something you want to think about. So a penny for your thoughts? I think not. It's probably between $700 per day for all the thoughts that you are going to be thinking. Now, what kind of thoughts do we have? What kind of thoughts are we projecting? Yeah. With those 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts that are coming in, bombarding our brains, scientists have concluded and estimated that around 70% of our daily thoughts are inherently negative. 70% of all the thoughts that come into our brains are negative. Now think about it. You're going through the day. Why is this happening to me? Oh, I feel so down. Oh, I feel rejected. Nobody loves me. You have all of these thoughts bombarding you throughout the day. 70% of the time, it's going to be negative thoughts that are coming into your brain. That doesn't sound very good, does it? Jesus kind of pointed out that from the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders and slanders, adulteries and all these kind of things from an evil heart. They just kind of come up there. We don't wait for them. They're negative thoughts that bombard us. We're not asking for them to come in. They just come on in. And, you know, we're not supposed to take those thoughts. I don't know about you, but as a born-again Christian, I found out that in the Word of God, it says that we are to resist those thoughts, those negative thoughts that are coming in. Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. We're not supposed to just take it. Dr. Daniel Gregory Amen is an American celebrity doctor and who practices psychiatry and brain disorder specialist as the director of Amen Clinics. He has 5 New York Times bestselling authors. And he shares the effect of negative thoughts, what it has on the body and on the brain. He says this, every time we have a thought, our brains release chemicals. When we have a sad, angry, anxious, hopeless, or helpless thought, our brains release chemicals that make us feel awful. Negative thoughts, he says, make our hands colder, our muscles more tense, our breathing shallower, and our brain waves disorganized. He goes on to tell us that these negative thoughts hinder the function of your brain's frontal lobes so you get confused. So when negative thoughts are coming in, it's actually confusing the order that God had intended you to live in. God intends for you to live in perfect peace and perfect order. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And do you know how he attacks you? Right here. 70% of the time, he's got his little demons going around, whispering into us, telling us how unworthy we are, how we're not loved, how we shouldn't do this, and we're condemned because of this, that's what the devil wants to do. Jesus, though, has come to give us life, and that more abundantly.
Amen.
As a side note, he says, people who get less than 6 or 7 hours of sleep at night have lower blood flow to the brain, which leads to more bad decisions. It's incredible that if you don't have the right amount of sleep, you're not getting the right amount of blood to your brain, which means you're not really thinking correctly. So keep that on the back burner. That's just a side note. $150 for those of you who just blessed. On the contrary, when we have a happy, hopeful, encouraging, loving thought, our brains release a completely different set of chemicals.
Amen.
Our hands get warmer and drier, our muscles become more relaxed, and our breathing becomes slower and deeper.
Praise the Lord.
Negative thoughts, positive thoughts, good thoughts, bad thoughts. Which do I want? Which do you want? Wouldn't you be happier just thinking better all the time?
Yeah.
Amen? So is there a way that and believe me, this is biblical psychology, so I'll be getting into the Bible in a second, don't worry. But is there a way that our brains can be rewired so that we could actually attack those bad thoughts that come against us? Well, first of all, you must be born again. You know, for those of you who do not have Jesus and the Spirit of Christ living inside of you, that's the number one antidote for getting rid of bad thoughts. Number two, getting in the Word of God, because that's really going to help clean your mind. Jesus says, you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. The Word of God will cleanse your mind. Early on when I was born again, my father looked at me and says, you're brainwashed. And I said, yep, Dad. I said, my brain has been washed by the Word of God and the regeneration. I said, I'm grateful for the fact that I can look at a book and that book is cleansing the way I think. Because you know what, Dad? I didn't like my old way of thinking. And you know what? You don't either.
Amen.
A lot of people are in jail serving life sentences and life. Why? Because the devil got right up here and took control of their being. So is there a way that there can be a a restructuring, rewiring. Psychologically, even on that level, yes. Recent studies now prove that incorporating, can somebody say gratitude? Incorporating gratitude into your daily routine with intention, listen to this, has a significant impact on mental health. Just by you saying, I am grateful and meaning it, it says with intention, really meaning it, will alter the way your brain works. When we practice gratitude, it actually increases activity in the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus sits in the middle part of the brain and maintains homeostasis, the body's internal balancing system. It maintains the state of equilibrium and manages things like body temperature, hunger, thirst, metabolic activity, sleeping, sex drive. So when you bless your head with gratefulness and have an attitude of gratitude, what you're doing is you're actually blessing yourself mentally, and all of a sudden your hypothalamus, that thing that's balancing you on the inside, is actually working for your good. Another study says intentional gratitude also stimulates the limbic system, which releases dopamine, serotonin, and this other thing I can't even pronounce. Thank you very much, my beautiful bride. Dopamine, serotonin, when you are intentionally grateful, when you actually do this, all of a sudden there's a chemical change in your brain and you start releasing dopamine, the feel-good hormone. It's like, yes, it's the reward center saying, yes, let's do this again. Let's do this again. I want to be grateful more. This is what you're doing to your body. And this is just on the physiological, psychological level. This is what scientists have been saying. And the combination of these chemicals help the management of those negative emotions that keep bombarding our brain. Somebody say amen. Amen. Christina Costa was a psychology instructor and researcher. She was working on her PhD when suddenly she found out that she had a large mass in her brain, a large tumor. And she was having a lot of difficulty. And she was into positive psychology with gratitude. And she had always taught her students, kiss your brain, thank God for your brain, always be thankful, always have gratitude. Now she was confronted with a brain tumor. And what was she going to do? She said, I have to start applying this to myself. And she said, what's really cool is that we can intentionally activate these gratitude circuits in our brain. She went through hardship, and yet she is still thankful. Wow. Having had her head opened up, her brain examined, this tumor that's in, she is still saying thank you. She's finding something to say thank you for. And you know what? I saw her on a TEDx, you know, interview. Big smile. She had a wig on, but still smiling with this tumor in her head. She was learning to effectuate, put into practice gratitude. People, somebody said, generate negative thoughts, so automatically they are unaware that it is happening. What most people forget in the process is that this is actually a choice they are making. Turn to somebody and say, a choice. Nick Vahochek was born with a very rare condition. He was born without arms, no legs. He called the one little thing he had as a foot a chicken thigh. When he was born, his mother would not even look at him or hold him. For days, I think it was maybe even a month, went by when finally nurses came in and urged the mother to take him. And she finally accepted that this must be the will of God for her life. Very difficult thing for a mom giving birth to a child, no arms, no legs. And this young boy was raised up in a very unique and different way. He had to learn how to use that one little foot to write, and he was able to go to school finally at one point to begin to write with his little foot. He began to draw, but I think it was around 10 years old because he was being bullied and all these kids were coming against him and making fun because he had no arms or no legs. He couldn't help it. He was born this way. He decided, I'm going to kill myself at 10 years old. He was waiting for his mother to fill the tub, and then he was going to jump in and just drown himself. But his mother encouraged him, saying, no, there's hope. And at 17, finally, he heard an article or read an article that his mother brought in the newspaper showing another person with a disability. And he said, well, if God can use them, maybe he can use me. And he went to the prayer meeting and he started to talk about that God has a purpose for his life, even though he doesn't have arms or legs. And from there, he went on to college and he got a business degree. And at 21 years old, he became a motivational speaker and he began to speak to individuals on a little table in front of thousands of individuals. He was traveling the world now as a motivational speaker, telling people of the hope that he has. February 2012, he met a woman. Guess what? They were married. Beautiful woman as well. Then they had a child. Then they had two. Then they had three. Then they had four.
Praise the Lord.
And Nick had this to say. I have a choice. Turn to somebody and say a choice. To either be angry at God for what I don't have or to be thankful for what I do have. I choose gratitude. I choose gratitude. Do you think God understands all this, how the brain works and what happens when we have gratitude? Of course he did. He constructed the brain. And that's why the Word of God says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of the one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members of in one body of believers. And, can you say it with me? And be thankful. And be thankful. Be thankful. That means you have to initiate it. Be thankful. It's not going to come to you. That means you have to be willing to initiate the thanks. Just like Nick, I choose to be thankful. You have to choose to be thankful, because when you do that, what's happening is that you are intentionally activating gratitude circuits in your brain. When you're incorporating gratitude into your daily routine with intention, it has a significant impact on your mental well-being. And I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of hurting people out there, as well as me, that need some mental well-being. And there is a biblical psychology. God tells us what to think upon. He tells us in Philippians chapter 4. Remember that verse, verse 8? You can write it down. He says, whatever things are true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is any excellence or praise, think about such things. That is God's psychology. He wants you to think on those things that are true, those things that are honest, those things that are lovely. Whenever you get the chance, you have to think about the things that God has created. You have to keep your mind stayed on God, because as you do, you will have perfect peace, the Bible says. Be thankful. Be thankful. What happens when you are intentionally thankful? What happens? It reduces anxiety. It helps with depression. Know anybody going through depression? It helps you deal with adversity. What do you mean, Pastor John? It reduces anxiety. Well, you heard that passage of Scripture, remember? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Pretty much all of us can memorize and we can quote it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, with supplication, right? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, 6. Let me just read it again. Do not be anxious. Stop being anxious about even one single thing. That's God's directive to you. You are not to be anxious. You are not to be full of fret. You are not to be filled with worry. Right now, I can hear brain waves going off because you're worried about something. Pastor John, you don't understand. Woo, woo, woo. I'm just telling you, chemicals being released. Negative thoughts. I'm just putting it out there. It's not a science class. It's a pulpit. It's a church. Yes, you come to the right place. But listen, do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in everything, every situation, through prayer and petition, with what? I always wondered, Lord, why that with thanksgiving part until now? Isn't it incredible? You can study the Word of God for 30, 40 years, and still God keeps giving you insight into what he's trying to tell you and share with you. Why does he incorporate? We're anxious, we're going to pray, and he says, with thanksgiving. Oh, I have to incorporate thanksgiving. I don't just get into a fret and get into a worry. God help me, God help me, God help me. Do this for me, God, do this for me. No, no. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And Lord, thank you. I thank you in advance because you are ruler, you are sovereign, you are over this situation. Many times you've heard me talk about the time when I couldn't sleep, went through 3-6 months of having 45 minutes to 1 hour sleep per day. The first week that I went through that, I thought I was going to go insane. And at the end of that 7 days, I looked up to heaven. I said, God, you're in control. You understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand it. It's really, really painful. I can't sleep. I'm getting up every single day with only 45 minutes to an hour sleep. But God, I thank you.
Amen.
Because you're in charge.
Yes.
And you know exactly what this is going to turn out to be. So Lord, I put it all in your hands with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Many times we pray and we plead with God, but we forget to say, Lord, thank you.
Yes.
Let your prayers be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Don't forget those two little words. Why does God say with thanksgiving? Gratitude is related to 23% lower levels of stress hormones. When our focus shifts off the anxiety and intentionally gives thanks to God for what he is able to do, it triggers those release of neurotransmitters, the dopamine, the serotonin, and so forth. Those chemicals that control our emotions, fear, stress, and anxiety levels. Somebody said by reducing stress hormones and managing them, the nervous system functions. Gratitude significantly reduces symptoms of anxiety. Another said gratitude can soothe and even prevent anxiety and fear. Come on, folks. Come on. Do you want to feel better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to have a good attitude?
Yes.
Gratitude. Can somebody say attitude of gratitude? That will do something for your anxiety. It will help bring it down. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation through prayer, with petition and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And what's supposed to happen? Exactly what scientists are talking about that happens in our body. There's a peace that comes over us. God promises. And the peace of God, that's the absence of anxiety, which surpasses all understanding, that's why you need the Holy Spirit inside of you, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm telling you something, when I was going through those bouts of not being able to sleep, I was up 23 hours a day, and I realized after all that period, the devil has one place to go that he wants to bring me down. Let me tell you something, when you have 23 hours, when you're awake, you do a lot of thinking. I had to teach my body to shut down for 3 to 4 hours, make my body think I was asleep. I'd stay in the bed still and wouldn't move for 3 or 4 hours. Let me tell you something, during those 3 or 4 hours, there was a lot of thoughts coming in. Man, I'm so glad I went through that today. I'm so glad because from that event, I realized just how important having a mind of Christ, having your body and your mind in the Word of God really is, saturated, praying to God always. It can relieve anxiety. It helps with depression. During this season, individuals have high expectations of cozy times, getting together with family. For others, however, seasonal depression is an ever-present reality. The loss of a loved one makes it difficult to give thanks. Others, they cannot partake or get involved in the festivities because of financial hardships. And so for them, being grateful is not something that comes easily, especially when they're going through difficult times. What's the antidote? What's the remedy? Give thanks. Be thankful. Give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Researcher Pratik Keeney and colleagues at the Indiana University performed a study and found that practicing giving gratitude can alter brain function in depressed individuals. Not only anxiety now, we're talking about depression. Focusing on the positive and feeling grateful can improve your sleep quality and reduce feelings of depression. Listen to this. Researchers found that writing a letter of gratitude reduced feelings of hopelessness in 88% of suicidal inpatients and increased levels of optimism in 94% of them. Just saying I am thank you and writing a thank you letter out. I've read over and over and over again. I've seen the stories, heard the stories of mothers who've lost their children, wives who've lost their husbands, individuals who've lost businesses and everything else. When they come to the resolution and intentionally begin to give thanks for what they do have right now in the present, and they begin to write it down and give a letter of thanks to somebody or express, give thanks to somebody. I'm learning more and more. I'm at the gas station. Thank you for filling that thing up. When I go to the store, thank you so much for your time. I'm learning to give thanks more and more every place that I go. The people who work here, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for those who served. Give thanks.
Amen.
Give, because in giving thanks, you are actually doing the same thing, and it's going to be betterment for your own soul.
Thank you, Lord.
God's word. It says it all the time. Be thankful, give thanks. And not only in certain instances, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks for everything. For all the things that you go through. I've learned a couple years ago, whenever hard times come, Lord, thank you. You say you're insane. Go ahead. Call me insane. I don't care. That's what the Bible tells me to do, so I'm going to do it. And if God tells me to do it, I'm going to do what God says and not listen to what people say. And there's a reason why, because when I start doing that, I feel better. I feel better because I know that God's going to take control of this. God's going to take control of my problem. You know, there's people in the hospital, they're going through difficult times, and still, like that woman, Christina Costa, she's a researcher doing this. She's got a brain, you know, tumor in there, and she begins to be grateful. That's on the human, you know, level, secular level. How much more the children of God? We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Lord, thank you for the roof that you placed over my head. Thank you, Lord God, that I can actually go down and sleep on a pillow and have a bed and have blankets. Thank you for the clothes that you've given me. Thank you for allowing me to have a vehicle. Thank you for allowing me to have gas to put in the vehicle. Thank you for giving me the money. Thank you for putting food on the table. Thank you for putting extra food in the refrigerator. Lord, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me health. Thank you for the ability that I can walk, that I can talk. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you that you've written my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you that you've taken me out of darkness and placed me into your glorious light in Jesus Christ. Thank you that I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you that I am no longer in darkness, but I am a child of light.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me tell you, some dopamine's going crazy in my brain right now. And serotonin. You have reason to be thankful every single day. I know a brother, he lost his leg in a motorcycle accident, but he's thankful. People have lost things, and I'm telling you, it's difficult. It is not easy, especially when you are going through rough times. But I'm telling you, write it down. I'm telling you, start to write down what you are grateful. Sometimes they say write it down in the morning. Others say write it down at night just before you go to bed, because when you write it before you go to bed, you have a better night's sleep. I say do them both. Do it before you go to bed because you might not wake up. Oh, last one. Attitude enables you to deal with adversity. The American Psychological Association reports that those who practice gratitude are better at handling challenging situations. And I found out also that some athletes, Olympians, they practice gratitude because it helps them focus and they can overcome hurdles. Someone else said gratitude has a broadening effect on how we think and how we look at the world. It allows us to, quote, discard automatic responses and instead look for creative, flexible, and unpredictable ways, new ways of thinking and acting. When we are grateful, we are more inclined to reframe challenging situations through a positive lens and to engage in creative problem solving. There was a king in the Old Testament. His name was Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was used to giving thanks to the Lord. And there was an event that happened in his life. There were armies, three of them, that were coming from all sides to invade little Judah and Jerusalem. And he didn't really know what to do. Matter of fact, the Bible is very raw and says that this king, when he heard about these other armies that were advancing to come against him, he got scared. It's okay to get scared. It's what you do with that fear. He went into prayer and he said, "Lord, we don't know what to do. We are powerless against this great army, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do." That's sometimes when you get in life, you don't understand why it's happening, why things are going on. You have to say a simple little prayer like Jehoshaphat, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm powerless against this great enemy." Listen, the devil is very powerful. Don't limit his power. You don't mess with the devil. You don't go to Ouija boards. You don't get involved in that junk, because once you do, the devil will get a stronghold on you and on your mind and on your life. That's a different story, another sermon. $150, don't worry about it, that's free. But Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, and he says, "Lord, I put it in your hands." They have a little prayer meeting, they fast and they pray. Sometimes we need to fast and pray for breakthrough. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Everybody know what fasting means? That means you don't eat food. It means you stay away from food because you're so desperate and you need God. You say, "Lord, forget the food, I need you and I need breakthrough in my life." And they did that. Jehoshaphat was in the group right there, and he prophesied, and he says, "You guys, don't worry. This battle is not yours, but the Lord's." Hallelujah. "You won't have to fight in this battle. You just stand still and see the salvation of God." Amen. That man was filled with anxiety. He didn't know what to do, but he prayed. Let me tell you something. They were praising God with thanksgiving. The next day, having addressed his people, Jehoshaphat asked those who sang to the Lord to lead the army and praise his magnificence and his holiness. No, we don't need an army to advance with guns and shields and all this. No. You guys, the musicians, you go ahead. This army is coming towards us. We're going to send the musicians. How do you like that one, Elisa? Right, Larry, Everett, ready? Whenever there's a battle, we're just going to send you guys forward. I'm going to say, "You guys go ahead and you do the praising for us. Well, I'm a drummer, so I have to go in there too." So we have to go in there and we have to advance. But think about this. Think about militarily the strategy behind this. Imagine if we were going to war with Iraq or somebody else. And, you know, the president goes, "Listen, hold back on the military. We're going to send the musicians out there in front." He would not last 1 second. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we should ask him. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. Pray for our president. But listen, imagine that happening right now. That would be unheard of. Yet God instructs his king, send the musicians in the front and give them a song to sing. And what's the song that they are to sing? "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loyal love endures forever." I want you to think about these hundreds of priests. They're going before. These armies are coming toward them. And these guys are going up there going, "Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks because you're a loyal God. Your loyal love has endured forever. Thank you, Lord." And they kept saying it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Adversity was coming toward them and they were advancing, giving thanks to the Lord. When you're in a difficult situation, let me tell you something. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loyal love endures forever. Woo! Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. He's not going to let you down. When you focus and intentionally give him glory and give him the honor and thank him for what he's doing, let me tell you something. He's going to move on your behalf. Thank you, Jesus. And you're going to be able to get over whatever it is that you're going through. Did Israel get over it? Woo-hoo. Somebody shout. Give thanks to the Lord. They were singing, for his loyal love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise Adonai, praise the Lord. The Lord brought a surprise attack and caused the armies of Ammon Moab and Mount Seir to begin fighting among themselves, and they destroyed each other. They were defeated. When you start thanking God, just leave it in His hands. He will take care of the invisible armies that are coming after you. He will deal with your enemies. He will deal with the people at your job. He will deal with the people at your school. He will deal with people in your church. Woo! When you just start giving praise to the Lord and you start thanking the Lord for what He's doing, it's His church. And you start giving thanks to the Lord, say, Lord, it ain't my church, it's your church. Uh-oh, he's going off course. Let's get him back on track. Let me tell you something. God will fight for you. The Lord loves to hear you give Him thanks, especially when you're in a situation that seems hopeless. And let me tell you something, the more you give thanks, you are building a barrier, even psychologically, around your brain. You are helping yourself to advance. Every time you give thanks, anytime an adverse thing happens to you the next time, it's easier to give thanks. And if it's easier to give thanks, then you're going to be able to feel better and get through that thing much easier. Let me tell you something, I've been through a couple battles. I know you have too. You're going through some warfare right now. Maybe you're going through some adversity right now. Maybe it's on your job. I don't know where it is, but I'm telling you right now, be thankful. Give thanks. You look at where this is at. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse what? 2022. I'm hoping that 2022 is going to be a year of breakthrough for you. I'm praying that 2022 is going to be a year that you start incorporating gratitude now, so that when you cross over that line from 2021 to 2022, that we're going to start seeing some battles won in your life. Amen? Some victories in your and you're going to give God all the glory as we cross over that threshold and begin to say, Lord, thank you for 2022. Thank you for bringing victory. I'm not saying, I don't know if it's prophetic. It's just amazing how it's 2022. So as we go into this season, be thankful, be intentional, make the decision to do it. Discipline yourself to be thankful. Learn to wake up and just start with an attitude of be thankful, like Nick. Look at Nick and don't forget his life. I have a choice to make. I can either be angry at God or I can choose gratitude. I choose gratitude. Amen? Amen. Intentionally. Because that activates these gratitude circuits in our brain. Give thanks in all circumstances, for all things. Write a letter, no matter what the grief, no matter what the sorrow, no matter what the hardship that you're going through. Do me a favor, please. Begin to give thanks. Start saying thank you more to people. Start saying more thank you to your employers or people, co-workers, the people in school, whoever you're with. Start to apply gratefulness. Even if you're hurting, start to give thanks to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this pain. I don't understand it, but you're in charge. I pray with petitions and everything with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for helping me through this. And He will get you through it. And know most of all that giving thanks is God's will for your life. And give thanks to the Lord for His power within you to overcome any adversity. The Bible says, greater is He that is where? In you than he that is where? You have power in Christ. Amen. The Bible says God always causes us to triumph in Christ. The Bible says all things work together for those that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. God is going to work it all out. God is always going to cause you to be victorious. God is always going to be on your side. God is on our side. Amen? Amen? He's working for us. He's inside of us. He's working around us. I love the fact, like we prayed this morning with Vincent, God, Emmanuel, we're going to see that in a few months, but Emmanuel, God is with us. What does that mean? He's around us. He's underneath us. He's above us. He's all over us. He's inside of us. We're born again. God is with us every place that we go. Let me tell you something. That is a cause and reason to be thankful. Amen? In all. You can do all things through Christ. Somebody say this out loud. Attitude of gratitude. Can you stand up, please? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your biblical psychology. Thank you for Philippians 4:8. You tell us what things we should be constantly thinking about, those things that are true and lovely and pure and just. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to apply our minds, be intentional, Father, to give you thanks always, Father, to be thankful for whatever we have, to give thanks to others, Lord God, to write notes of thank you and gratitude to other people. Lord, help us to start applying this, because we've seen even psychologically the reports that have been out with people who've done it for 21 days. It just becomes better, and it has long-term effects, Lord, on our brain and our mind. Lord, help us. We know that we're attacked with these thousands of thoughts that come in that are negative every single day. And Lord God, you want us to have a mind that's filled with peace. Your word says that a mind that is stayed on you has shalom, shalom, perfect, absolute, utter peace. Lord, help us to get to that point. And Father, I pray that you would speak to folks today who do not have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living within them, that they would cry out right now and see their hopeless state, the darkened state, that only you can come and change an evil heart into a pure heart. You are the one who can take out the stony heart and put in a brand new heart, Lord God, and put your Spirit inside. Lord, help people today to come to that realization and the knowledge of you, we pray. And I pray, Lord God, your blessing over your people. Now the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you. Lord grant you shalom in Yeshua. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, we have Claire and others here who can pray with you and for you if you want to come up here. Others, we're going to be partaking.